You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Online trolls. The mere thought of them can get your blood pressure rising. Social media outlets have wrestled with how to strike a balance between allowing free speech, yet not letting trolls and haters wreak their havoc. Just banning a troll doesn't make much of a difference. It's so easy to change up your screen name and jump right back out there lobbing hate-filled posts. So what if the focus shifted from cracking down on the trolls to taking away their online hangouts? A recent study by researchers at Emory University, Georgia Institute of Technology, and the University of Michigan explored that very question. Eric Gilbert is one of those researchers. He's an associate professor with the School of Information at U of M. Eric, this study focused on Reddit. Just what were you looking at?
Well, in 2015, Reddit banned a number of hate communities that had been on the site for a long time. Two of the communities were pretty well known at the time. One was called Fat People Hate, and the other was called Coontown.
Okay, well, I guess we can take away immediately going on there.
That's right. I think they're pretty self-evident.
Yes.
And so what they did is that just one day they turned them off. They used to be there, and now they're not. What we studied was, what was the impact of that intervention? Did it actually work? It's hard to empirically study stuff like this because it doesn't happen very often.
I can imagine. So how did you go about this? Before you tell us what you found, what did it take to come to do your research?
Well, the first thing we needed was all the data, right? So luckily, there are folks within Reddit who make a lot of data available, and then there are folks on the internet who package up that data. So we were able to use a large data set of every post and every comment that was made on Reddit in 2015. So that's about 500 million posts.
So you could do the while these two forums were in business and once they vanished.
Yep.
What'd you find?
So we found that, at least in the way we defined it working, it worked. The ban worked. We defined working, whether it would work, in two ways. One was how it affected the people that were involved in these spaces, that were talking all the time in these spaces. And then two, how I was more interested in the second question, was how it affected the communities. So there's been this longstanding idea in internet communities that if you stamp out a bad behavior, it's just going to spread all over the place. One argument for letting it sit there and do what it's doing is that if you try to take it away, it'll spread to more mainstream locations. And we wanted to test whether that was true.
And what'd you find?
We found that, one, on the first question, that individuals went away at a higher frequency than expected. They stopped using the hate speech they were using before. And in the second case, there was no discernible effect on nearby communities. And I'm air quoting nearby because that's kind of a complicated operation,
It wasn't like you saw a trend where they just scattered elsewhere and were kind of spewing the same things.
They did go other places.
Okay.
Right. So they did go to other places. They went to, if you're familiar with Reddit, there was a big migration to the Donald, which is the subreddit devoted to Donald Trump. We did not see the same language that they were using in the hate communities replicated again in these new spaces.
What does that tell us? Was it the chemistry of these folks hanging out in these two?
That's a good question. Yeah. That's a really good question. The best answer I can give, the most honest answer I can give, is we don't know why it worked. We don't know exactly the mechanism that made it work. We have some hunches about why it would have worked.
Such as?
So one of them is what you just said, right, which is that there are social norms that are in place in these communities that tamp down bad behavior. We've talked to moderators a few, just like informally and anecdotally. We've talked with people who moderate some of the communities that received some of these migrants. And I think one of the takeaways was, we stomped that out pretty fast. And there were multiple reasons. They, at least some of these moderators we talked to, they reported they didn't want to be the next ones. They didn't want their community to be the next thing that Reddit's hammer nailed down.
Yeah, so tone it down, people.
Tone it down, people. Reddit's on the hunt, right? And we know that there was some conversation around that time. It could be a lot of things. Another good example is we know a lot of these people just left Reddit. They went to a different online community that's more permissive, where they could say what they wanted to go to.
And what would be an example? I mean, I'm certainly,
yeah.
I mean, were they going to Twitter and Facebook, or were they going deeper into
the conventional wisdom is that they were going to a site called Vote, V-O-A-T. I recommend you do not go there.
Thank you. Forewarned is forearmed.
Yeah.
So that's an ecosystem friendly to trolls and haters?
It has very, very permissive moderation schemes, right? So I'm not going to say everything there is bad, but I do say that one of the main claims they make that the reason they exist is because Reddit banned these spaces.
So I'm wondering what precedents this tactic sets in terms of limiting free speech. I mean, thinking of a forum focused on hating people because of their weight or their skin color is pretty low-hanging fruit. But we've seen some social media and online platforms doing some banning that's raised questions of free speech. YouTube taking heat earlier this year when its restricted mode started blocking LGBTQ content, even the family-friendly stuff. Last year, Twitter suspended some major alt-right accounts, and there was big pushback. So where do we go with this? What's the boundary line?
It's really, really hard to say. One thing I will point out is that it's tricky on so many levels. We say free speech, but whose free speech are we talking about here? One of the things we have to point out is that all this stuff is transnational, so it's not even clear whose laws apply. And even among Western countries, there's considerable variation in how free speech is interpreted. Canada is different from Germany, is different from the United States. So that's like one pretty complicated sticking point. The other thing that gets lost sometimes in this freedom of speech conversation is the fact that there are companies involved. These are companies. They do not, Reddit does not have to uphold the First Amendment. It is not a public space. It is a privately owned space. Now, we could have a very long and I think thoughtful conversation about whether that's the right way for it to be.
But
right?
It is the way it
but
is.
It is the way it is. It is the way it is. I'm not sure it's the best idea to cede the regulation and enforcement of free speech to private firms. And that's currently what we have. They're not set up for this. They're not set up for this.
This tactic that Reddit used when it just basically took the candy store where the bad kids were hanging out and it's gone. There's no more candy store to hang out. So these two forums are deleted. Could that tactic be applied to other social media platforms outside of Reddit?
So many of things in these kinds of empirical studies are really dependent on the context and the particular implementation. So, for example, it's not clear if you wanted to directly port the results of this research to Twitter, how would you do it? There isn't a group. There isn't a congregation area that everybody goes to.
Hashtags.
Hashtags is probably the closest analog, and it's not great. I mean, on Facebook, you could argue that Facebook groups serve a similar purpose, but I don't think they are the same in, you know, a number of other ways. They're not discoverable, for example, in the same way that subreddits are. And I think all these things are subtle. They all matter. And it's really hard to tease it apart. So I'm relatively cautious when I say, you know, and I have been approached by people from other platforms, and I'm saying, you know, I'm pumped the brakes a little bit, right? All the details matter.
So what questions do you have now based on what you found out in this study? Where do you want to go with this?
I mean, banning is one. We actually have a long research arc that's somewhere in the middle about moderation practices on online communities. So one thread we're looking at is how do you make moderators' lives easier by building machine learning prediction models about what is likely to be taken off site eventually. Kind of more in line with this stuff, we are probably going to look at the kinds of feedback that quote-unquote bad actors or bad users receive that limits their bad behavior. So let's say we have all of Reddit, we have all of this, and I hope nobody steals my study idea here. All right, I'm going to paint the study idea. The idea is, you know, take all of Reddit and then look at all of the types of feedback that they could possibly receive, like somebody calling them out in the comments, somebody downvoting them, somebody questioning their motives, somebody telling them to go away. And are any of these kind of naturally occurring behaviors actually effective in limiting subsequent future troll behavior?
Yeah. Do you see any true way to keep the troll behavior, the hate and the haters off the internet? Or is it going to be incumbent on users of the internet and social media platforms to police themselves and not go to sites where you're going to see this kind of stuff?
I mean, here's where my American culture values are going to show here, right? You know, I'm not even sure that would be desirable. I'm not sure that stamping out all the deviant behavior from all of the internet, would even want that. Like, would we want an internet that looked that way? Mm-hmm. I would say no. I mean, I don't think so. I think there's lots of great kinds of deviant behavior that I'm glad exists.
Well, as you say, where's the boundary line?
Who gets to define the
boundary line?
Who
gets to define it?
You're seeing other countries take a very, like, you know, we've been watching what's happening in Germany lately. They've instituted a new law saying that if social media companies leave hate speech on for a certain amount of time, they're going to be fined. So that's a very top-down approach. I mean, you're seeing a lot of variation, actually, I think, in the ways that countries and societies are approaching this problem. But yeah, I would say I wouldn't want all the trolls deleted from the internet.
Eric Gilbert, associate professor with the School of Information at the University of Michigan. Interesting research, and thank you for sharing it with us.
Thanks.